Speaking on this program is Mark Lance.
In Luke chapter 12, verse 46 through 48, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. Now notice this, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required, and to him, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. See, God expects us to use the ability that we have. But brethren, one thing that any of us are capable of doing, walking back to that bulletin board with a pencil and piece of paper, writing down some addresses, and sending them some notes to let them know that we appreciate that they're spreading the gospel and that we have them in our prayers. Brethren, we all can do that. And it's actually something that is good and encourages them. Brethren, we need to hold the hands of those that are spreading the gospel. It's no easy task to be out in the field doing God's work and proclaiming the word. The world's not always happy with that. So brethren, let us uphold their hands and be mindful of the ones that we have a direct contact with and supporting the spreading of the gospel, because the gospel is the only thing that will save man's soul. But we think again about our responsibility, and brethren, we do have them. God has given all of us responsibilities. But now, if you notice in the text, the one that knew the will of the Lord, but did not use his abilities to serve God, he's going to wind up in the same place as the unbeliever. If that doesn't drive a point home to you, and that's our Lord speaking, if that doesn't drive a point home to you, might as well pack up and go home, because we don't intend to listen, because that is what our Lord said. Those that know to do the will of God and don't do it, you'll be with those that don't even believe with God. What a terrible thought. The unbelievers, atheists, which they'll be atheists no longer when you meet them. But brethren, can you imagine being in eternity with people like that? But God expects us to use the talent, the ability that He has given us. And each one of us has abilities. Some are different than others. They're not all the same. But every single one of us has abilities that we can accomplish. And here's something to think about. Sometimes we talk about age, and I understand the statement because I've made it myself, but the young people be in the church of tomorrow. But really ought to be the church of today if they've obeyed the gospel. They're part of the church right now. And I say that to say this. Young people, you can be doing the work of the Lord right now. Just a simple thing that I mentioned just a moment ago. Sending encouragement letters. Anybody can do that. Doesn't matter what your age is. And sometimes we think, well, we get so too old and, well, I can't get around and do the things that I used to do. That won't stop you from sending a note of encouragement. And, of course, some of those are not local calls, but take your directory out and look and think of people that maybe perhaps are not coming as they should. Or maybe you just understand by looking and thinking they can use some encouragement. But then there's so many things that we could do. This morning, we had people that came and visited with us. Well, we need to pray for those people and go up and meet them. Sometimes it's so easy to get caught up in talking with this person that we talk to every single time that we see them. Perhaps we could forget to go up and talk to those that are visiting and make them feel welcome. But there's so much that we can do and use our responsibility. And brethren, I hope that the words that we have to say, the words of God, will not hit a heart that's so hard that it doesn't penetrate. I hope that we will soak this word up, we will apply it, and if we look at it, say, that's me. It doesn't matter who it is. If that's me, if I need to make a change, I'm going to make a change. If I need to stop doing something, I'm going to stop doing that. Lord, I will give up my will in order to please Thee, whatever it takes, because I want God to be happy with me. And I want to accomplish something in life. And everybody, I want you to listen to this. If you serve God, your life has meaning. If you serve God, you are accomplishing something. Please take that to heart. Some people go through life and think, my life has no meaning. My life's not worth living. And that is not true. Because I know we don't mean it like this. We don't even think of it like this. But if our life has no meaning, you know what that means? God made some junk when He made this person. Brethren, God didn't make any junk. God knew what He was doing when He made mankind. And we're made in the image of God. Therefore, our life does have meaning. Now, while we don't need to ever overvalue ourselves, at the same time, brethren, we don't need to undervalue ourselves. And when you are confident, you do things differently. I didn't say arrogant, I said confident. Confident that God is guiding us. He guides us through His Word. And brethren, when we do that, when we do the will of the Lord, I know that God is pleased with me, and I know that I have a home in heaven. My Heavenly Father is pleased, and brethren, I know where my destination will be. That makes my life different, and that makes my life of one that has meaning. But now, brethren, we mentioned a few things this morning that we ought to be responsible toward. One is toward the laws of the land. And I even admit that one, I don't think it's actually that big of an admission, to be honest about it, that, you know, sometimes you have to be careful of those laws of the land. It's easy to ignore the ones you don't really want to do. Don't have to do that. Children, young people, we talked about submitted ourselves to our parents. Boy, that is one that we need in our society. Parents are the ones that need to take the lead. Children do what they do because of what they're allowed to do most of the time when it comes down to it. You can have a child that rebels. Obviously, the Bible even talks about that. But brethren, when we teach our children God's way, the Bible says this. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, that doesn't say it's a guarantee he can't or she can't fall away. That's not what the passage is saying. He will always know the direction that you have pointed them in, that God would have them to do this in life. They will always have that with them. And you can see a child. Children are different. Children don't respond to the same thing always. So you guide them in the way that is necessary. Train them. I can see this child needs this. Train them. Guide them. I can see this child needs this. Train them. Guide them. And then thirdly, we talked about our responsibility to the eldership. I have the privilege now of serving as an elder. And that is a great responsibility, but also a great privilege at the same time. I have worked under different elderships, and I've been in congregations where there are no elderships. So when you have an eldership that is serving God, brethren, you better be thankful for them. Be responsible toward the elders. And understand what we do in our actions toward elders, and I don't say that because I'm one, but the Word of God says submit to those that have the rule over you. Brethren, it matters. It matters to these young people sitting here. If we won't submit, they can look in their minds and think, why should I submit? The adults don't. And that can even lead to rebellion with them, with their parents, in schools. It all starts really with adults, doesn't it? But let's make sure on our end that we do all that we can to help them along the way. You owe them the proper example, the proper attitude, and being active in the Lord's church. So brethren, do what you can. Meet our responsibilities. God expects us to use the abilities that He has given us. And we all do have responsibilities that we are capable of meeting. But here's something I want to point out. After saying all those things, we read in Romans chapter 14, verse 7, for none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. Brethren, when we serve God, it affects other people in the right way. When we choose not to serve God, it affects somebody in the wrong way. So our influence carries further than we might think. Somebody sees, somebody watches, and yes, you're able to help those in need. Brethren, serving God is a joy. It's a pleasure. It's a blessing. We shouldn't treat serving God like it's drudgery. Brethren, serving as a Christian should be something that we look forward to. When I come to services, when I have the blessing, the privilege to come and be with other Christians, brethren, that should bring joy to my heart. Brethren, we should enjoy spending time together tonight, together with Christians. If we don't enjoy spending time together now as Christians, why would you want to be in heaven together? I look at my New Testament and I read where they were together on a regular basis. They were busy spreading the gospel. The apostles, and of course we first call them disciples, John and James, Peter, they were fishermen. They left that profession. Why? To spread the word of God. They understood that's what matters more than anything else. But now think of it this way. They were real men. They walked the face of the earth just like we did. They're not in this world anymore. They still exist on the other side of eternity. Brethren, the thing that's going to be the same thing with us. We don't know how long this world will stand. But if 100 years from now, if this world is still here, we're just going to be a memory as far as here. Now, we may have made an influence on somebody that may still be serving God, but we will be somewhere. But where will it be? Will it be with Peter and John and James and the Apostle Paul and Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the angels, and God, of course, a place called paradise, and then the Lord comes and we go to heaven? Well, that actually is up to us. See, we make that determination. Nobody else does it for us. Actually, I'm glad that nobody else does it for us. That way, nobody can rob me of my salvation. Not even Satan, who wants to rob me of my salvation. He can't do it. Not unless I am willing to go along with it. Now, if I'm willing, He will take my salvation. If I'm willing to let Him have it, if I'm willing to listen to Him and follow Him, He will take the joy of my salvation away from me. Because He is going around as a roaring lion, seeking whom He may devour. We as Christians should know that by reading the book. Therefore, we look out, we try to help each other. A brother or sister has fallen by the wayside. We know what Satan has already done. He launched an attack and was successful. We go and try to help them to get out of his grasp. We go look at the world. We know that he has them. And we know the only thing that will save them is the Word of God. The Gospel. That is the only thing that will save man's soul. So therefore, we go and we do what God would have us to do. But we do that with joy. God, I am thankful that you have given me this opportunity. Brethren, be glad that you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian this evening, you need to become one. And if you're not living faithful as a child of God, you're missing out on something. And you have tasted of the heavenly gift. And you need to come back to God while there's time, while there's opportunity. Because tomorrow may be too late. You realize tomorrow's obituary is not written yet. Ours could be there. So we have to be ready now while we have the opportunity. But God blesses us with certain abilities. But along with those abilities, brethren, comes responsibilities that we need to fulfill. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 12, we see these words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things." Notice this. "Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." That's the one that's serving God now. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Nobody's going to like hell. Nobody. Now we understand that. But try to set that thought aside for a second. Some people wouldn't enjoy heaven. You say, that's impossible. Oh, it's not either. Do you realize how some just don't want to worship God that much? Being in the presence of God's children, look around you tonight. Where are those that chose not to come tonight? Then they'll choose that Wednesday night and very likely the next Sunday night. They don't enjoy the presence of God's children as much as what they do, whatever they're doing. Super Bowl party, whatever it happens to be. Will they fit in heaven? They might feel uncomfortable there. Worshiping on a regular basis around the throne of God? They'd want only just to come now and then. Well, they wouldn't fit in heaven either. They won't like the alternative. But they wouldn't fit in heaven. But now, also, being responsible on our part, isn't that fair for God to ask that? God sent His only begotten Son to die in our place, where we should have been. We should have been the ones nailed to the cross. God sent His only begotten Son to take our place. It's only fair that He can ask me to be responsible in serving Him. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, we see, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Brethren, that's the Great Commission, but that's to all of us, not just to a select few. Now, sometimes you can't necessarily get on a plane or a ship and go. You can help support those that do. And remember what I said about just writing a letter of encouragement to those that are in the field? So yes, you can have a part in that. Brethren, we need to use our money in order to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. That requires giving on the first day of the week as we have been prospered. Not that we eat the pizza and we do this and we do that and we see what's left over and then we give to God what's left over. That's not serving God with joy. That's serving self and putting God in second place. And that's done quite often. God doesn't accept second place, though. He expects us to do all that we can with all that we have. Our abilities, the financial means that God has given us. God expects us to use every single bit of it. God expects us to use it. But brethren, something else God expects us to use is our influence. And each person here in this room has some. You have influence over people that you work with, over family members, over neighbors that you live with, over people that you come in contact with. You have influence over them. How come we can talk to a complete stranger that we've never met about a football game, about the weather, how cold or how hot, about this, about that, but we can't talk to them about the gospel? Are we ashamed? Are we ashamed of the gospel? Sometimes I'm afraid the answer is yes. We don't want them to think that we're some kind of fanatic. Actually, we didn't put something in their hands to invite them to services. But we can talk about everything else under the sun. Brethren, we need to use our influence for that which is right. And that is spreading the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Brethren, we only live in this world for a short period of time. And then we will depart. Where will you be when your life ends? I don't mean at the point, well, I was at home or I was at the church. No, I don't mean that. Not that you went to the grocery store. Once you depart from this life, where will your destination be? And there's only two places. If the Lord hasn't returned, either paradise or torment. There's only two choices that you have. But here's the thing about it. You determine that. Not the preacher. Not the elders. And there's a sense you can even say God doesn't determine that. He's made the rules. He's made everything possible to be saved. But whether you obey it or not, actually that is up to you. You will determine that. God will not force you to go to heaven. It's a choice that you will make. I hope that you make the right choice. We read in John chapter 12, verse 26, "If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." I hope the Father is pleased with my service to Him. Sometimes it may be feeble. Sometimes it may not be what somebody else can do, but I hope the Lord is pleased with what I can do. But God, I promise you this, I'm going to try. I'm going to try to do the very best that I can, because I know that's all that God ever asked me to do. He's never asked me to do more than I'm capable of doing, nor would He. But this He does ask, what you're capable of doing it, Mark, you better be doing that. And that's with every single one of us. What we can do, we need to be doing. In the book of Romans, chapter 14, verse 12, we see this. It's called accountability. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. See, we're going to have to answer to God. Every single one of us, no exceptions. In Hebrews 4:13 it says, "And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we have to give account." See, God sees all things. No, nothing slipped by. You didn't get by with it with God, and why should you want to? See, the blood of Christ will wash away any sin right now. It won't wash away any sin on the day of judgment, because the day of mercy will be over. It will be the day of hearing our sentences. Either well done, thou good and faithful servant, or depart, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. But the choice is ours. The choice is up to us. This morning and this evening, we talked about serving God with all of our hearts. You read in Revelation chapter 3, you see about lukewarmness. Members of the body of Christ, those that have become Christians, but they didn't serve God as they should. Oh, they were still attending, but they had become lukewarm. Jesus said, "I will spew you out of my mouth." I don't want the Lord to do that with me. This evening, if you're not a Christian, you need to repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of sins. This evening, if you are a child of God, for whatever reason, it doesn't matter what the reason may be, if you've stopped serving God as you should, you need to do something about that this evening. And from this moment on, you need to serve God with all of your heart. And I want you to think about this. It doesn't matter what you may have done. The blood of Jesus is greater. The blood of Jesus will cover any sin as long as you're willing to come in contact with the blood. God has a place for you. I hope that if you haven't been baptized, I hope that tonight is the night that you will do that. I hope that if there's something amiss in your life, I hope that you will see that heaven is the only place that you want to be, and you need to be ready now to go. Because we don't know when death will come, and we don't know when the Lord will return. But we can know that whenever that time comes, that we are ready.